Okay, gang, here we are, hour number two already, working through some just fabulous pictures. And Harry is back. I understand that he emailed me. He put a dollop of vanilla ice cream in a pina colada. Now, that's pretty damn creative.
Well, I guess I'll have to try that when I get off the phone here.
Uh-huh.
Incidentally, some of your listeners have already emailed in for the free subscription. And
they're our listeners.
Say again?
They're our listeners.
Okay, our listeners.
Glad to hear it.
Nothing's going to happen tonight when I get off the air with you. I'm taking the dog for a walk and I'm going to bed. But first thing tomorrow morning, they'll get their confirmation of their membership. So anybody else, send me an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com. Tell me you want your free membership to the end of this year, and you got it. Okay, number 15. Number 15, General Rattenhuber. He did not make it to South America, but his staff, much of his general staff did. He was high up in intelligence. I put that little white oval bracket thing in there. You see where his medals are, or his ribbons are supposed to be, but they're not, which leads me to think this was after he was surrendered at the end of the war. Mm-hmm. But check number 16, that's an HE-188, and according to our SIG agent Pizarro, three of these things were fitted out with belly tanks and wing tanks so they could make it on down by hopping from airfield to airfield to the bulge of Africa, and they could fly across to the bulge of Brazil, and then from there, hopping from airport to airport, getting fuel. They landed on a ranch in Patagonia, which we are quite certain was the Estancia San Ramon, which was German-owned, and that's where Hitler and Eva Braun stayed in July and August of 45, because it was the dead of winter and nothing could move. And yes, July and August is winter down there. And so we think this was not one of the planes, but it was one just like this that had been specially modified to carry people. So his general staff made it down there. Mm-hmm. Then we look at number 17. This guy's a fun guy. Rudolfo Freude. Freude was with the bank, Banco Alemán Transatlantico. In other words, the German Transatlantic Bank.
Alemán and, meaning German.
Yeah, Alemán, yes, that's German. Mm-hmm. So that was the end of the line for the money coming out of Germany from Odessa and Die Spinne, which means the spider web, which is a branch of Odessa. And it went down to his bank, and he distributed with the other Third Reich people down there, distributed that money to the German veterans who were stuck down there, or the Germans coming in on what they called the rat line. And he helped Mengele get into South America, and several of the other guys, Eichmann, etc. And the international, some damn thing or another, international commission to round up old Nazis or something, sent a demand for extradition to get Freude back home for trial. Perone basically said, he's a good friend of mine. He ain't going anywhere. So that was the end of the extradition. Now we look at number 18. Remember I told you a little while ago he had a teaser about Fritz Mandel, actually Friedrich. He was a big arms manufacturer in the Third Reich, in Austria, I believe it was. And, of course, when the legs fell out from underneath the table, he skipped over to Argentina, where he had a huge, big bicycle factory making 20-millimeter bicycles, etc. etc. It was an arms factory.
Got it.
And it was confirmed that he gave his wife to Adolf Hitler one night, I'm guessing, to get a weapons contract. So look to number 19. That was his wife. It was beautiful, incredibly beautiful Jewish girl from Vienna by the name of Hedwig Eva Maria Kiesler. Does she look familiar?
Hedy Lamarr.
She came to the U.S. and became Hedy Lamarr during the war. And she helped invent some wartime equipment for the United States military. And she retired to a little town about 40 miles from me. Unfortunately, she passed away before I had a chance to pop over and knock on her door. But mm-hmm. she was an incredibly beautiful woman. And she helped the U.S.
That's quite a story. Yeah.
Oh, incidentally, I did see many, many years ago that she sued Mel Brooks because of his movie Blazing Saddles, in which Harvey Korman played Hedley Lamarr.
Yeah.
And she sued and won.
Good.
Look at number 20, that yellow circle. If you look real closely, you can see that's his Hitler Youth dagger.
Yeah.
This was at an asado right near the Hotel Eden, I believe it was. I paid $100 for that photograph.
This Who was are the other gentlemen?
Probably just other Germans, obviously. I don't know who they are. Never did find out. But an asado down in Argentina is beef cooked over an open, you know, ribs cooked over an open fire. Mm-hmm. Really good. Really good. Put on whatever sauce you want. And who is this guy with the Hitler Youth dagger? Go to number 21. There he is. Adolf wow. Eichmann, yeah. Colonel. Unlike all the so many others, he was not wealthy and he was not protected. He worked, his last job was on the assembly line at Mercedes of Argentina. He had to ride the bus 3 hours each way to work and back. Wow. And on the weekends, he sold fruit juices at the waterfront. And so when he got off the bus coming home from his day shift, he was really tired. And he was kind of an old man, older. And the Mossad guys grabbed him, drugged him, and kidnapped him. So, and I was at the place where his house once stood, the so-called famous house on Garibaldi Street. There's nothing left of it, but the pictures, it looked like it was about 20 feet by 20 feet. That was his house. He and his sons built it. And so he was not wealthy.
Interesting that they wouldn't take better care of all of their own.
For some reason
he was on the outs for some reason, for sure.
Yeah. There's another guy mentioned in the book right in the same chapter with Eichmann, a guy named Wilhelm Mohnke, who was a one-star general or a colonel. With the SS. He was in the personal guard detachment of Hitler's. There were so many of those guys. So let's click here and see what we got. Geez, there, look at number 22. What an awesome airplane. That was Germany's best fighter plane in the whole war, except when they got the jet fighters going. But this was the Focke Wulf FW-190. And then you look at number 23. What does it say? It's not a MiG-15, even though it looks like a MiG-15. It's called a Pulque, P-U-L-Q-U-Y, I think is how you spell it, which means arrow. And click again, and number 24, That's the guy who designed all them airplanes, Professor Kurt Tank. He fled to Argentina along with approximately 50 aeronautical engineers.
Yeah.
And they moved, they were moved up to Cordova City, because that's the headquarters of the Argentine Air Force. And I was in his office when I went there about 2016, right after I fell off my roof. I remember that.
I remember that. I remember talking to you in the hospital, and you don't even remember that, though. That's how knocked out you were.
3 days in the hospital, I don't even remember what I had. My wife told me I had three meals a day. I don't remember any of it. And then 4 days after they let me out, I was on a plane for Buenos Aires and damn near died in the jungle. Martine can tell you about that. But Kurt Tank went to Argentina, and he was designing aircraft, fighter planes, for the various South American Air Forces. Somebody else who went down there, I don't have a photo of him right now, was Reimer Horton, one of the two Horton brothers who designed the stealth jet-powered
HO-229.
Flying wing jet bomber. And so his son and his grandson are members of Shark Hunters. I met his son, pleasant young man. Never met the son of Reimer Horton, but they're members of Shark Hunters, so we correspond back and forth. And if we ever get rid of this damn Kung Flu scamdemic stuff, I'm due to go down and visit them, but I've got to get rid of that Kung Flu crap. So, but I was in his office. So now, what's next? Number 24, we're going to, poor Werner Baumbach. We'll take a look at the next three pictures. 25 is Werner Baumbach. He was commander of Kampfgeschwader 200. And the next guy is Adolf Galland, Knight's Cross, Oak Leaf, and Swords. I think he had the diamonds, too. I'm not sure. The fighter general, they called him. And number 27, Hans Ulrich Rudel, probably the greatest pilot of all time. They had to create a special award for him. Only one guy in the whole German military got it, the Knight's Cross with Oak Leaf, Swords, Golden Oak Leaf, and the diamonds. He went down there. These three guys went down to South America. They were not so-called Nazi fugitives. They rebuilt the entire Argentine Air Force. I was at the place where Galland's home stood.
Mm-hmm.
And but now the only thing that's there is the gate to the property. The house was torn down and a new house was built there. I don't think it had anything to do with who it was, but that was what happened. You go into this little town, and there's, how every place around the U.S., you go to a military base, whatever, they've got an airplane on display out front. Well, they got a pulque on display out in front of this little village where Galland lived. So then we click on up to
He went back to Germany. Galland went back to Germany eventually.
Galland did, and so did Rudel. Baumbach, unfortunately, was killed in Argentina. He was in a Lancaster bomber, apparently on a training mission, and they crashed into the Rio de la Plata. The plane sank, and he couldn't get out, and he drowned. I was at the place, I was on the shore, right by where he splashed in. Really sad. But then we look at number 28, and there we see Hans Ulrich Rudel shaking hands with somebody with his left hand, because his right hand had been, he was injured, he got shot up something fierce, and the guy still kept flying. He destroyed more than 500 Soviet tanks, sank a couple of big ships, sank a whole bunch of little boats, and God knows how many hundreds of lorries he destroyed. Plus, when they gave him an FW-190 during the defense of the Reich, he shot down seven guys. So he's an ace and a fighter bomber, and just incredible. So that's him there with Juan Domingo Perón before Perón got knocked out of office.
Who's the blonde with him?
His daughter, I think, or his wife. There seems to be some question as to which it was. Mm-hmm. I guess it was his wife. Whoever she is, she's not drop-dead gorgeous.
Okay. Biden would probably rather talk to the little boy.
I won't argue. I won't touch that one. Go to 29 and you'll see some interesting folks. You see Colonel Rudel in the middle and that beautiful lady, Ursula Rudel, way over on the far right side. Do you know who was Savitri Devi?
No.
She was a hardcore right-winger, and it was not her real name, but you look her up, Google her, because there's a lot more there than I know. And then right in the middle there, in that bright orange, that's Beryl Cheatham, who had a wild romance with one of our Shark Hunters members who's still alive and married, so we won't mention his name. Beryl passed away about 3 or 4 years ago. She had so much priceless historical stuff in her apartment, and the landlord paid some scrap guy to come in to throw it all away. But then the scrap guy realized what he had, and he started selling it all.
Wow.
But Colonel Rudel...
Go ahead.
Colonel Rudel was unapologetic, is the way they like to put it. He did not renounce the Third Reich. He did not renounce Hitler. He ran for some kind of office in Germany. Didn't make it, but he was barred from just about everything except breathing. And he was not allowed to be buried in Nuremberg, which is, I guess, where he lived at the time. So he's buried in a little churchyard about an hour outside of Nuremberg, and we generally, on our southern patrols, when we go there to South Germany with a bunch of members who want to go along, we go to the little cemetery and we put flowers on Colonel Rudel's grave. He was a great flyer. Who cares what his political thoughts were? He was probably the greatest pilot ever. Guy was an ass kicker.
Wow. Yeah, he was. I used to read about him many years ago.
Yeah, and sadly, I missed my chance to meet him because one of our members who used to live only about 40 miles from me, the Reverend Dr. Orrin Poteto, who was also a radical right winger.
Radical right winger stuff? are you talking about German patriots?
Okay, something like that. Anyhow, Rudel would come to visit him. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, Rudel died before I met Orrin Poteto. Orrin was a brilliant engineer. He designed a lot of the automatons at Disney World.
A lot of the what's at Disney World?
The automatons, you know, all the
animals.
I
thought you said atomic bombs for a second.
No, automatron, whatever you call them. The automatic...
We call them robots now.
Oh, okay. That's what they're called, is robots?
It's talking about people, that they're robotic people representations.
Right. Like Joe Biden. Okay.
He probably did the Abraham Lincoln thing then.
I don't know which ones he did, but he did stuff like that.
Okay.
And he was an interesting fellow. But we won't go into him because he was not one of the Germans who escaped. go to number 30.
I missed my chance to meet Adolf Galland. I would have had to have driven 6 hours one way to get there. He was giving a presentation in Southern California.
Yeah, that was
LA.
At Virginia Botter's place.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah,
and,
right.
I couldn't swing it. But he did go back to Germany afterward, and I sent him three vintage VHS tapes of Walt Disney Mickey Mouse cartoons from the earlier 30s.
Oh,
he
sure.
Loved Mickey Mouse.
Right.
And he had Mickey on the side of his 109, his BF-109.
Right, and, with a cigar in one hand and a six gun in the other hand.
His wife, wrote me a very nice letter back saying he just thanks you so much. He loves it. He just loves the car. He looks at him all the time. So that was a nice thing.
You mean them Germans was humans with feelings, not godless Nazis?
Don't trust us. Just look into George Patton, huh?
Right. Yeah.
We defeated the wrong enemy. He read George Patton's letters to his wife.
Right.
For goodness sakes.
Anyhow.
He's an honest man.
Yeah, he was. Number 30. I think we know who that guy was on the left. Otto Skorzeny.
Without doubt, one of the most, well, let's say, one of the most famous and deservedly so special forces commanders ever in the military.
Oh, absolutely. He was one tough son of a gun. He wanted to be a fighter pilot, but at, 6'7" or 6'9", how are you going to close the canopy on him? So he became a Green Beret type. And here he is in 1954 with Juan Perón. He was not a, quote, wanted Nazi fugitive, unquote. He was free to go around. And I wonder if Perón would be so smiling if he knew at that time that Skorzeny was more than friends with Evita. They were together
friends with anything that wore trousers with a zipper.
And especially if they had money. And this was in 1947, I think, when she went over to Europe on her rainbow tour, meeting all the wonderful people over there. Skorzeny was her escort.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He was
the one who flew the commando raid up on the mountaintop and rescued Mussolini.
Right, exactly.
This is big stuff.
He was just as tough as nails. Nothing slowed this guy down.
Yeah.
One of our members wrote his doctoral thesis on Skorzeny, and he got 1 point knocked off because he wrote about a Nazi.
Oh, how dare you.
But he still got his doctorate.
Should have put the quote
Skorzeny
from
was one
General
tough
Patton.
Guy.
Yeah. Yeah, this is 1954 now. Adolf Hitler, this is in Argentina, we assume. It looks like it.
Oh, yeah, it's in the presidential palace.
Yeah, Adolf Hitler was still alive in 1954, down there, and living at that time on the secluded estate on that finger of that enormous lake, and lived there for 10 years, 1946 to 56, and then had to move because Perón was ejected.
Yeah, he was evicted with machine guns and everything else. They had U.S. Army Air Corps P-51s in their Air Force, and the Air Force turned against him, and they strafed one of the huge big buildings that Evita was using to give away money to, as the ones she called the shirtless ones, the workers. Mm-hmm. And there was a statue of Evita up there, and one P-51 machine gun bullet took off the fingers from Evita's statue, and some lady grabbed it, and that's her souvenir. Anyhow, next guy here is Joseph Schwamberger, and he was, let's see, I'm looking at my notes here. This is actually, I'm reading right out of the book. He was an SS commander, administrator of the, I don't even know how to spell that, Prusmel ghetto in Poland. And he got to Buenos Aires in 1949 aboard the steamer Campana Belle. So he was also a target of the Simon Wiesenthal bunch. But he still lived out. This is him as an old man, but Number 32, that's him as a young SS officer. There was one other thing that that's in the book, but I didn't do pictures. There was a Jewish group came to Barry Loci. I don't know if they were on Fact Finder, if they were snooping, or if they're just on vacation. And this one gal was 47 years old. I forget her name, but it's in the book. She had been in one of the camps, and apparently she was very attractive. So Mengele was banging her. I don't know any other way to put it. So she was there, and she went to a dance. I guess that was a big thing back in the 40s and 50s, public dances. And she walked around the corner, and bang, face-to-face with Mengele. So it's unclear who did what with which to whom, but she went mountain climbing with a bunch of her friends and fell off the side of the mountain, dead.
Oh, really?
That's in the book, too.
Oh, they killed her.
Yeah, obviously.
Huh.
Well, Mengele was trying to stay hidden. I'm not saying it was right, wrong, or otherwise. I don't do that. I just stick to what happened.
I understand.
And that's what happened. She went over. I think it was on Cerro Alto, which means Otto's Mountain. And she fell down into a canyon and was killed. And that was the end of the hunt for Mengele at that point. Because he was down in Bariloche quite a bit, too. Most of them were. They met at various places, which you can find on my website, previous tours, and we go to some of the buildings, and we're trying to post the videos, but we thought Rumble was a good one because
they'll
post
stay
anything
away.
Except pornography, but...
No, not anymore.
Not anymore, that's right.
They buckled.
Guy
they,
Ryan Wentland posted... Yeah. Something that had the 1929 Party Congress in Nuremberg. It was a silent film, only they dubbed in music. That's it. Oh man, he got an email saying that we have accrued 29 points, and if we get to 100, they'll kick us off entirely. So he emailed back and said, "Okay, what are the rules?" Never got an answer.
No, they recently announced that they had a change in their community standards, and that precludes anything that they decide is hate or that their advisors decide is anti-Semitic in any way. So Rumble is to be steered clear of.
Yeah. We're trying to find something else. This guy Mike
Odyssey,
King with his tomato
Odyssey.
Thing.
I think Odyssey is a good one. And then M-I-N-D-S, minds.com, is supposed to be also free.
You and I will talk about that in a day or two, because I can't write all this stuff down right now. I'm old and feeble.
So. It's the margarita with the ice cream.
Is that what it is? Okay. All right, next guy, number 33, Edward Rochman. He was called the Butcher of Riga. Everybody has to be called a butcher of something or another. Butcher of Lyon, remember, was Klaus Barbie. And he was down in Colombia. I think, he was in Bogota. And he was a CIA asset. And Pierre Salinger was his CIA handler. But here we are at Rochman. He wound up in, where the hell was he? He was in Buenos Aires. And, he was in Montevideo, Uruguay. And the Mossad finally caught up with him and killed him in his home. And I don't know, maybe they didn't want to lug a body around or something, but they stuffed him in a trunk. And it lay for 3 weeks before somebody found him.
Yeah.
I was at the house in a very bad neighborhood. They got a lot of bad neighborhoods down there. We asked directions from a cop, and he gave us directions to the house, but he said, "We police don't even go there, so be careful."
No go.
Yeah, so we went anyhow. Next, we have, that's Erich Priebke again. Remember the guy that Sam Donaldson went after? Here he is under house arrest out in the local supermarket. He had free access. Yeah, he was under house arrest. And, you know, if I was old and single, I wouldn't mind having the same kind of carabinieri he had guarding him. They were all good-looking young dollies. And but he was able to go for a walk in the park if he wanted to. He was able to go shopping and get his groceries and stuff.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah.
That's good.
So he finally died at age 100. And his son, I'm still in contact with his son who lives down in Bariloche.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we are, number 36, at the restaurant of Fridolin Guth. I was very disappointed when we went there because he was famous for his Black Forest cake, Schwarzwaldkirschtorte, Black Forest chocolate cherry cake. But they weren't making it anymore because Fridolin was dead. That's him in number 37.
And he took the recipe with him? What do you mean?
They weren't making it anymore.
Hmm.
I was
That's just your style, too.
Say again?
That's just your style, that cake.
Oh, I know. I love that stuff. We were down in Sarasota last week, and we ate in a German restaurant. I had to have my Black Forest cake. Oh, it's gooey and juicy, and I tried to eat around the sugar in there, but I don't think I made it.
Oh, please.
Yeah. But anyhow, he... there's a couple of pages about him in there.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Yep,
38.
Yep, yep. Page, number 37. Okay, we'll move. You're telling me to get moving. Hey, okay, we'll move.
No, 37. That's a nice picture of Goethe.
Good, yeah. Anyhow, well, he was in a police unit, SS, I guess, police, but anyhow, German police unit. He was, there's two pages. You don't want to hear all that. He came from Genoa in 1948. They were able to sneak out on board the Costa cruise liners coming out of Genoa, Italy. And surprise, surprise, his passport came from the Red Cross. They did that for a lot of people getting out of Germany, out of Europe. He entered Argentina with deficient conditions, but the deficiencies were never noted, so apparently they just let him come in. But his restaurant is way out in Booneyville. I don't even remember the name of the town where it was in, but we went in there, we had lunch, but...
Where was this?
This was in northern Argentina somewhere. I can't remember the town.
Okay.
It's probably in the book, but I can't remember it.
All right.
So then 38. We go to 38. 38, yep. This was Abraham Kipp. He was a police officer during the occupation of Holland. But after the war, he was in a Dutch prison, and he got out, escaped. He was condemned to death in absentia. Mm-hmm. I don't know how anybody can condemn anybody to death in absentia. You're supposed to be able to be there to defend yourself.
Yeah.
But that was the tribunals, not trials. Anyhow, he was hiding in Europe, and on the 22nd of August, 48, he escaped on board the steamer Vlasa, and Holland requested his extradition, and apparently they told Holland... kiss off. So he just, and they never found him, and he lived out his life in Argentina. Like I say, there were thousands. Now we go.
Well, remember,
to,
they one little side note here. There was a full blown and very busy three or four story hospital specializing in plastic surgery for Germans who made it down there.
Yeah, that was Hotel Vienna with one N in Miramar, which was in, I think, in Cordova province. Yeah, we were there.
Yeah.
Almost got arrested because I picked the lock on the gate and went in. Yeah, that one, this one fella who was a member of Shark Hunters, we won't identify his name, but he was there in 1960, and the hotel was still going. And then for some reason, the lake rose. It was a salt lake, and it rose and rose and rose and was all the way up to the ceiling in the first floor, and then it finally resided.
Receded.
Receded,
not resided,
yeah,
receded, yes.
Well, it resided for a while, but then it receded.
I guess it did reside, didn't it? Yes.
But the hotel was shot. I mean, the underpinning was gone. But it had air conditioning, and it had elevators in 1945, and it had that plastic surgery clinic, yeah. What can we
and
say?
For those of you who may be interested in finding out who built, it's all in the book. Get the first book up there. It's all there.
Yeah,
tells
it's
about
all in the book.
All the buildings that were constructed there. It was a self-contained community called Inalco, and the building that was occupied by Mr. and Mrs. was absolutely gorgeous. All German architecture. The interior is all beautiful, Bavarian. It was right there on the foot of the Alps, just like in...
Yeah.
In Europe.
It's awesome.
The Andes,
right? We just found an entrance to a bunker there, too. And the caretaker didn't want to let us in there. You know, your best buddy, Senor Torres.
Please.
But he said it was full of rats. And we told him we didn't care, but he said it was full of rat poop. And if you breathe the air...
Come on.
I told him I'd been in tougher places than that, but
He's picking that clean, that guy.
We were supposed to be back... as a matter of fact, we were going to be back this November, but unfortunately, General Flu Manchu has stopped that for a while. Yeah, Argentina.
What a fraud.
Yeah.
All
Argentina
fraud.
Is only letting in their own citizens returning, and they have to quarantine in a government-approved hotel for 4 days, which costs anywhere from $550 up to $900 U.S., and that does not include food. That's a lot of money for an Argentine.
Well, Martin should say you're his uncle. get you some documents.
Yeah. That was easy back in the days of post-war, but now it's a little more complicated.
All right.
Anyhow, let's look at 39. That's old Paul Schaefer. Who's Paul Schaefer? Nobody knows, but he was in a wheelchair when this photo was taken. You can see his medic behind him. Paul Schaefer was one kind of an SS leader or whatever. There were about 300 SS veterans came over with their families to Chile, and they founded a place called Colonia Dignidad, in other words, dignity town, more or less. And heavily armed, nobody could get in or get out. Everything was done in German. They celebrated the German holidays. They had farms, etc. Everything was German. And during the time when General Pinochet was overthrowing President Allende, a lot of Allende supporters were brought into Colonia Dignidad, but none of them ever came out. But then... at a time when I guess he was no longer needed, it was expedient, they charged him with pedophilia. Whether it was true or trumped up, we don't know. But he was ousted, and now, I forget the name of it, they've changed the name of the little place to something like Precious Bavaria or something like that, and it's nowhere near as tightly controlled. So,
got it.
Everybody has to pay their price, I guess.
Yeah.
At number 41, how the hell did we get from 39 to 41? I don't know.
41 is too big, so it's wider than the other one. So you.
Okay. Well, 41 is Isabel Lida. That was Juan Perón's third wife. I don't know anything about his first wife, but his second wife, Evita, was a hooker and radical liberal, gave away so much money to so many people, and it plunged the country into incredible...
Did you think she... Did she single-handedly ruin the economy of Argentina? Is that right?
She had a whole force behind her. She had two huge office buildings. I was in both of them. She had people there just giving money away hand over fist. And there were other things, too. I mean, it wasn't... She just didn't single-handedly destroy the economy. Yeah. But, boy, she put a huge dent in it.
Well, look at the date on this picture, number 41.
Yeah, that's his third wife, Isabelita, who also was a hooker. I guess he liked...
Well, they know how to climb the social ladder. Come on, Harry.
Oh, that's right. One of them became vice president of the U.S.
Just, okay. That's
moving
right.
Moving along. Yeah, and
ask Willie Brown. Ask Willie.
Say what?
Ask Willie,
yeah, Willie Brown.
Yeah. He'll tell you.
Yeah, well, she kind of passed him on the political ladder.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we see Isabelita with her right arm out. Her thumb should be up against her forefinger, but... What can I say? In the Roman salute, there's no such thing as a Nazi salute. It's a Roman salute. When two Roman men would meet each other, they would put their hand up like this to show they have no weapon in their hand. But at any rate, one must wonder why she is making this gesture in July of 1974.
Interesting. Is it, yeah, television coverage there and everything?
Oh, yeah. Channel 7.
Mm-hmm.
She's still alive. I've written her a few letters asking her if I could come over and visit and talk to her and, you know, ask the questions. Never got an answer, and she's now 90 years old, so I doubt she's going to be talking to anybody except the, you know, the pastor.
Well, feel free to use my name. That might help.
Yeah, she'll write back and say, Jeff who?
That's a joke.
Okay. I know.
It's too bad she won't answer you, though. That would be nice, even if you got a little, dear Mr. Cooper, da-da-da-da-da. But at 90?
Yeah. Well, now at 90. But this was about 10 years ago I wrote to her, so at 80 mm-hmm. years old, she would be pretty solid right. mentally.
She looks like a very healthy, fit kind of operative.
Yeah, she became president of Argentina there in July of 74 when Juan Perón died because he had come back from exile and became president again. When he died, she became president. But then, I don't know, maybe she wasn't governing properly. Who knows? But the military knocked her out of office.
Is that her swearing in by any chance?
No, this was at Perón's funeral.
Ah, now we understand. Okay.
Who swears in with their hands stuck out like that?
Well, it's being facetious, but seriously, this is now it is understood. She's saluting him or the cause, yeah, which goes all the way back to the 40s, remember. Not her, but the cause, so to speak.
Right.
Perón and his support.
When General Padilla knocked her out of power in 76.
Padilla or Padilla?
No, V-I-D-E-L-A, Padilla.
Padilla, okay.
Whatever.
Right.
They shipped her out of Buenos Aires, sent her down to Patagonia.
Yeah.
And was imprisoned in El Mesidor next to Villa Langostura, and we were there at that place too, but it's still a secret military installation, and we couldn't even stop the vehicle. We filmed out the window.
Wait a minute. Who was in a prison next to Angostura?
Isabelita.
Really?
After they overthrew her, they put her there for a while and then sent her to Spain.
I didn't know there was a prison by
not
Angus
a prison.
Stewart.
It was a mansion. They stuck her in the mansion.
Oh, okay. Now it makes more
under
sense.
Under guard.
Yeah.
It was, you know, if you got to be in prison, it's not a bad deal.
Oh, that's a gorgeous place. Jeez. What is it, 5 kilometers from Inalco, something like that?
Something like that, yeah. We got there within short time pulling out of Inalco.
All right, there's a bunch of men with black electrician's tape over their eyes.
You wonder how they can see where they're going.
It's amazing.
This is just to show that it has not gone away. This is 2004, and translation, blood and honor, troops, combats, whatever, 18.
This is in Argentina.
Right.
They have groups like this in Germany, too. Quite a few of them, actually.
Yep. And this one's in Argentina. This was in 2004. This was a monumental or homage, honorable march to the crypt or tomb or grave, whatever you want to call it, of Hans Langsdorff, the skipper of the battle cruiser Graf Spee.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in December of 2004, 19th of December, which is the anniversary of him committing suicide. And they have this march every year in December.
It looks to me like the fellow on the right with the other flag, it looks like there may be it's a red flag with a black and white insignia on it. I can just make out a little bit of it.
Yep,
don't know what that
interesting flag, right? Yeah.
Could be a naval flag honoring the ship. I don't know. Interesting.
Could be. The guy right in the center, that's the Argentine flag, which is a beautiful flag. A beautiful blue, and it's got the sunburst in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. And I've been to that cemetery. Langsdorff is buried there. Freude, who we talked about, he's buried there. All sorts of guys that were important to the Reich who died in Argentina. What the heck was that doctor's name? That Danish doctor. He was an SS major, I think. It'll come to me 5 minutes after I hang up the phone. But he was the one that believed he could change homosexuals from being homosexuals by transplanting monkey nuts into the homosexuals. I don't think it worked, but that was his claim to fame. And we were in his, what had been his clinic. Uh-huh. Down there, but it's now a Chinese grocery store.
Well,
go figure.
Now this isn't Mengele. This is
No. He's a Danish doctor. Jeez. Anyhow.
All right.
He escaped with. I don't want to open a whole new thread here, but has to do with some of the Goebbels people down there. don't forget, listeners, if you want a free membership until the end of this year, just send
That's
an email
really
sharkhunters
nice.
At sharkhunters.com, and you're on for free for the rest of the year.
And how no often string. Are you putting out your little hot note updates?
Well, the hot mails are supposed to go out every couple of days, but we're having problems with Earthlink. And as I've said for years, Earthlink sucks, and we got stuck with them, but we're finding another one. I called today, and I got a hold of one of their so-called experts, and I said, you know, I got, like, X number of people I send an email to in a one big mass blast, and now all of a sudden I'm getting calls and stuff from dozens of members. They're not getting their
Somebody's playing games with you. Come on. You know.
Yeah, obviously. So this clown says, well, what are their platforms, you know, like Gmail, AOL, whatever? I says, come on, there's hundreds of them. Oh, wait, just a minute. Let me talk to my manager. And he comes back. He says, the problem is at their end. I said, no, it's not. They've been getting these emails for years, and now all of a sudden,
no,
they're
no.
not.
problem is you're being interfered with.
I will call you back. Yeah, he's going to call me back and tell me what the problem was. He must have lost my phone number because I haven't heard from him, and it's been like 20 hours. So we're going to a different platform now. Except
well,
I get the load.
I understand. The long arm of the...
them?
Of the... those on the other side of the fence.
Yeah. Yep. Those on
I
the other
really
side
like
of the fence.
Idea of the pina colada with the ice cream in it. You got it. Come on. You got to try that. I don't drink, but you can tell me how it goes.
I'll tell you what. The only way to have a pina colada is on the back of your boat in the Bahamas with a steel band playing on shore.
That's
but
cute.
Unfortunately, thanks to Obama, I don't have my boat anymore. Bastard. I can say that on air, can't I?
I didn't hear anything.
Okay.
He just had his birthday party with 600 friends and family. And they claim that there are something like between 60 and 70 people who are stricken with a terrible Wu flu. And it's such crap. It's
just, of course it is. It's control. That's what it is. It's control. And, you know, when I walk into a store and I see the clerk wearing a mask, I say, well, I see you're wearing your facial control device. And they usually say, yeah, I hate it. But the boss says, I got to wear them.
See, that's why the future doesn't look very bright. Too much compliance. They just will not say no. Now, for those of you out there who do say no, bless you and salute all of that. Keep it up.
We
have to let them know.
We're called murderers, we don't care about other people, et cetera, et cetera.
I know. Same old.
You know,
all right.
It's another way to pit one person against another. You don't care about me. You're not wearing your mask. No, I don't give a damn about you.
Yeah, God. For all of you out there who are not members, grab this opportunity to join Shark Hunters. And don't worry about being on a list. You're all on a list anyway, hundreds of them. So just join and have fun and avail yourself of this opportunity to, you know, put a little pinky back in real history. It's fun. It's really fun.
Wow. Quite a few people have come in already for the free membership. Yay. All you guys, you're going to get it first thing in the morning. But after I get off the air, I'm taking a 70-pound fur ball out for a walk here in the jungle, and then I'm going to bed. It's coming up on 11 o'clock here.
Harry, thank you. You be well. Take good care. Say hi to everybody.
My pleasure. You too. You take care, too. You're working too hard.
Okay. Thank you. You be well. Right. Talk to you soon.
Good night, Jeff.
Good night. Shark Hunters at sharkhunters.com. Just drop them an email. And it is fun. It really is. Okay. Be right back with more.